What child is this? You know the song. You've heard the song. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? You know the song. Do you know what child this is? What child is this? You may not have discovered that yet. You might be going through Christmas and hearing as much as you do about this child, and you may be coming to church, and you may be have been coming to church for many years, and you know about Christmas time we start talking about this child. What child is this? Well, you're in one of three categories this morning. You may find yourself in that first category. You may not have discovered yet this child. You may not know this child yet. You might be there this morning. You may find yourself in this category this morning where you have found him. You know this child. You found the significance of Christmas. You found this child. You know this child. But you've left his glory really untapped. You've probably heard stories before of people buying some land and having no idea in the beginning what they were living on, and later, years later, to discover as they lived very meagerly and struggled to make ends meet that they were living on oil and it was tapped, and in all those years they lived as if they were poor. Well, you might be in that category this morning. You may have found out who this child is. You may know this child and who he is, but you may be leaving his glory very untapped. You may find yourself in a third category this morning. Maybe you have found him, and you know this child. What child is this? You know that. You know it in your heart. You have found him, and you are experiencing what child this is. You are experiencing his glory. Maybe you're in that category this morning. Well, obviously, God wants us in that third category. So let's look at it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at this prophecy written hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. And if you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you in the chair there. You just open to the middle and back up a little bit. You'll start seeing Isaiah. You want Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look at these first seven verses. What was prophesied hundreds of years before about this child that was going to be born. Look at it with me. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot. used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What child is this? Wow, no more gloom? What child is this? No more gloom? Wow. No more gloom. Look at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. Wow, there will be no more gloom because of this child. No more gloom. In the past, he humbled those lands, Zebulun and Naphtali. Naphtali, a tribe in the northern part of Israel that had experienced that Assyrian Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria had attacked. And, wow, God humbled them. I'm sure they had gloom as they faced that. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. And Jesus fulfilled this prophecy as he taught in Capernaum in Galilee. Jesus fulfilled this. God would honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. No more gloom. Wow, depression, gone. Depression, gone. You ever get gloomy? You ever feel gloomy? I was talking with somebody this morning, and we were in our Bible study group together, and we mentioned that exact thing. This is a gloomy day. Look how cold it is, and no sunshine. I thought there'd be sunshine today, and it's a rather gloomy day. You ever feel that way emotionally? You ever feel gloomy? You ever just have a bad day and just feel terrible and depressed all day long? I'll be honest with you, it doesn't pass pastors. I had one yesterday. I had a bad day yesterday. I had a gloomy, terrible day. But you know what? What God is saying here is it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be now. It's a choice now. Yesterday, I chose to be gloomy. I'll be honest with myself. I know Jesus. I don't have to be. I don't have to be. I have a choice. Doesn't have to be. Because he says here, no more gloom. What child is this? No more gloom. It's a choice you make if you know him. If you've got him, it's a choice. And he is the answer to your gloom. What child is this? No more gloom. No more darkness. That's next. What child is this? No more gloom. No more darkness. What child is this? Look at verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. No more darkness. Wow. A light has dawned. The people were walking in darkness, but they've seen a great light. They were living in the land of the shadow of death, but a light has dawned. But they were walking in darkness. What does that look like? What is it like to walk in darkness? Well, just imagine it. Imagine complete darkness, trying to live that way, trying to function that way, trying to walk that way. Walk's just another word for you're living. Imagine trying to walk in darkness, live in darkness. What would you have? No guidance, no purpose, You'd be confused. You'd be lost. You'd always getting hurt. That's what it looks like to walk in darkness. No guidance, no purpose, confused, lost, always getting hurt. Is that you? You may be in darkness this morning. Oh, but there's good news. A light has dawned. You don't have to stay that way. You may be that way, but you don't have to stay that way. Is that you? You see, the reason you don't have to stay that way is a light would dawn. This is hundreds of years before Jesus ever came, but then He came and He fulfilled it. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's pretty good. Do you want to never walk in darkness? Do you want to never have no guidance, no purpose? Do you want to never have a lack of guidance, lack of purpose? Do you want to never be confused and lost and always getting hurt? Follow Jesus. You won't walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As long as you are following Jesus with a sincere heart, and your eyes are fixed on Him and you're focused on Him, and you're putting 100% of your effort into following Him from the time you wake up in the morning until the time if He allows you to lay your head down again that night. As long, to whatever degree you're following Him, you're walking in the light. These things don't characterize you. To the degree that you're trusting in Him and depending on Him and focused on Him, eyes fixed on Jesus, following Him. And there's no more darkness at that time for you. What child is this? No more gloom? No more darkness? Next is great joy and freedom. No more gloom, no more darkness, great joy and freedom? What child is this? Look at verses 3 through 5. Great joy and freedom. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. Who's done this? God has done this. You've enlarged their nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. God gives two illustrations here about the joy that people will have who follow Jesus, who live following the light, Jesus. He gives these illustrations. The joy they'll have. He says, as people rejoice at the harvest. Wow, well, you know how that is. People have worked hard all this time and they wait and they wait and finally the harvest comes. Yeah. All of our resources, all that we need is in the harvest. And you just go get it and you reap it. You know that's an exciting day when they can go bring in the harvest. Then he gives this illustration. As men rejoice when dividing the plunder. You know how exciting that must have been if you were in a war and you just conquered the enemy and then everything there is yours, all the plunder. Imagine that excitement. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, and you know how it is, there's things you get excited about today. There's things you get real joyful about if it happens. The other day I was at one computer and Christian was, John Allen's been teaching Christian how to play this game online called World of Tanks. He's been teaching him how to play it. And I was just sitting there working away on something else. And I heard this, oh, yes, oh, my goodness, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, he told me I could share this. You didn't know I'd go this far, though. And, oh, wow. I mean, he was so excited. I was like, what in the world just happened over there? And I found out later he entered a new place in the game, a new environment with his tank that he could go in. Oh, he was just overjoyed. Now, that's the joy of a child, but picture it. Picture it. People at the harvest. People getting a plunder. People on a game coming to a new level. Wow. That great joy. What child is this? He brings it. He brings that great joy. It's one of the fruits of following Him. When you've truly come to Him and you're following Jesus, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As long as you're focused on Him and you're trusting in Him and you're following Him at any given moment, not only are you in the light and you don't have the darkness and any of those things, but you are filled with His Spirit. As long as you are surrendered to Him and you're following Jesus, your eyes are fixed upon Him, as long as you're doing that, you will bear the fruits of His Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. What will it look like when you're abiding in Him, as Jesus put it in John chapter 15? As a branch abides in the vine, it then bears fruit. Jesus said, apart from me, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but as long as you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. What does that fruit look like? The fruit of following Him, the fruit of trusting in Him. Any given moment that you're following Jesus and trusting in Him, what does it look like? You bear the fruit of love, joy. Here it is. That's what we're talking about right now. You look like Christian in that game. You know, you got joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what you'll look like anytime you're following Jesus and trusting in Him. Not only is there's great joy and freedom is where we are right now. So what child is this? No more gloom, no more darkness, great joy and freedom. Well, that's the joy part. What about the freedom? And great freedom. This is a child that brings great freedom. You see in verse 4, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you remember Gideon defeated the Midianites. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke. Who? God. The Lord. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar across their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. Will be fuel for the fire. We won't need any kind of weapons or anything like that. At this time, you set us free from the oppression. You set us free from the slavery. What about you and I? There's great joy and great freedom that this child brings. And the greatest freedom that you could ever discover, that you could have, that this child brings, the greatest freedom is what God talks about in Romans chapter 8. When God tells us, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, there's a law that every human being is under because of our sinful nature that we're born with. We're under the law of sin and death. You're a slave to sin as you're born and you come along. That's why you don't have to teach a child to be bad, but you do have to teach a child to be good. We're born with a sinful nature. Our bent is away from God. We go our own way, not His way. And we're born that way. We're slaves to sin and death. Sin and its penalty. The end result, if we remain a slave to sin all our lives, it ends in death. Eternal separation from the second death. Eternal separation from God in hell forever. That's how everything ends for us if we stay that way. We're under the slavery of sin and death. We're under the law of sin and death. So that is the greatest thing that any of us could be set free from, is the law of sin and death that's upon us. And God says in Romans 8, go read it for yourself, the law of the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. When you repent and you give your life to Jesus, He sets you free. You're no longer under the law of sin and death. Now you're under grace and you're His and you will live forever and you have eternal life and abundant life. And so He brings great joy and freedom. Freedom from the law of sin and death. And then once you become a believer, once you truly repent of your sins and you give your life to Jesus, yeah, the greatest gift in the world is you're set free from the law of sin and death. You'll never go to hell again. You're His. And that's fantastic. But then on out, after you're set free from the law of sin and death, He sets you free from everything else. Those sins that plagued you, you don't have to obey them anymore. You now have the freedom. You can now obey God
once you're a believer. You have the freedom, I heard Steve Brown say one time, you have the freedom to walk away from that which drew you before. Now the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can obey God. You can live according to His will. So you're free from the law of sin and death, and then He also sets you free from everything else. You've seen it happen. The first thing I can remember when I truly knew I had surrendered to Jesus, I knew He was saying, Derek, are you willing to put me first in your life above everything? I remember contemplating that in that one-bedroom apartment in Auburn as a college student and just saying, yes, man, I'm tired of all this alcohol. It's messing up my life. Yes, I just want to give my life to You. And then He began to set me free from things. I knew He had set me free from the law of sin and death, but then He began to set me free from everything else. He took the alcohol away from me. He set me free from that. And then He took cigarettes away. He set me free from that. And then He took, I'm not going to tell you, that's as far as I go. I won't tell you anything else I was doing. But then it was like one thing after another kept setting me free. And He's still doing it today. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm a sinner. But He's working on me. And I look a lot more like Jesus today than I did when I was 23. And He's doing the same for you. And He tells us that in Romans chapter 8. He's conforming you to His image. He's working on you. He's making you look more and more like Jesus. He's setting you free from things over and over. But you have to participate. You have to let it. You have to surrender to Him. You have to stop trying to do it yourself. And trust Him to do it. And trust, depend on Him. You got to stop trying and start trusting. When I try, I fail. When I trust, He prevails. What child is this? No more gloom, no more darkness, great joy and freedom. And why? Because of Him who will rule forever. Because of Him who will rule forever. We see that in verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Because of Him who will rule forever. That's how we have all these things. It's because of Him who will rule forever. You see, He is a king. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who it was prophesying about that would come. This coming king. And a king rules over a kingdom. Jesus is a great king, the king of all kings. And He rules over His kingdom. Now, you can't see His kingdom. You have to have spiritual eyes to see it. Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. If you haven't been born again, you won't see His kingdom. You're blind. You're in the darkness. You can't see it. No matter how hard you try, you can go to the Bible and read and read. It won't make a bit of sense to you. Anybody who wants to see the kingdom of God must be born again. If you want to see the place where Jesus rules and reigns, you got to repent. You got to believe everything He said. You got to truly repent and give your life to Him and trust in Him. And then He'll open your eyes and His Spirit will come and indwell you and live inside of you. And as the Amazing Grace song says, I was blind, but now I see. He'll allow you to see His kingdom. But His kingdom is all around us and it's very near us and it's just a prayer away. Anytime you surrender, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm completely surrendered to You. Fill me with Your Spirit. Open my spiritual eyes so I can see where You're working, what You're doing. It's just that far away. If you believe that in your heart, He'll show you His kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And whenever you surrender everything to Him, whenever you let Jesus Christ, if you're a believer and He's in you, whenever you let Him rule and reign over you, then His kingdom is in you. The king is Kingdom is where a king rules and reigns. But you can be a believer and you can manage your own life. You can suppress him and just do it your way and do your own thing and just live in sin and darkness. And because of him who will rule forever, all these prophecies were fulfilled in him. He fulfilled them all. And we see his names, some of his names here. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. That is your Jesus. You need any counsel? You need a counselor? Go to him. Wonderful Counselor. He's your Mighty God. You have any difficulty, any problem? Does anything in your life seem just impossible, too impossible? Not for him. With him, all things are possible. He specializes in impossibility. He likes that. He's the God of the impossible. He is able. Where there seems to be no way, he can make a way. He's your Mighty God. He's your everlasting Father. Maybe you didn't grow up with a good father influence. Or maybe you did. And you can remember back to your daddy and how he loved you and what he did for you. He's your everlasting Father. He's your Prince of Peace. You need any peace? He's it. This coming one, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, this child to be born. And God also tells us elsewhere that he is Emmanuel, God with us. What child is this? No more gloom, no more darkness, great joy and freedom because of him who will rule forever. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for coming for us. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. Thank you that you take the gloom away, that with you there's no more darkness. With you there's great joy and freedom. And Lord, because of you who rule forever, may you rule over each and every one of us. Lord, if there's anybody in that first category today that has not discovered who you are yet, may they right now give their life to you and say, Jesus, I'm here. I'm coming to you. All I know of you, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You're raised from the dead. I'm asking you to save me and come into my life. I give my life to you. Maybe that's you. And that's your call in that first category. Maybe you're in that second category and you're praying, Lord, I know you. I've known you for a long time, Jesus. But I believe you're glorious, very untapped in my life. And I don't want to live that way anymore, Lord. Help me to trust in you and depend on you that I may see your glory. And Lord, help all of us to be in that third category where we have found you and we are experiencing who this child is. We are experiencing your glory. May we all be in this category. And Lord, as we enter this category, may we be sharing it with others. May we help others come into this category, Lord, to see your glory. We love you, Jesus. Pray these things in your name. Amen.